So I'm just going to read again and then I'll pray. I'm just going to read again this scripture that I read last time that I spoke about pass the baton, and it's kind of a continuation on from what I was speaking. So I just want to read this scripture, and then I'll tell you to turn also to another scripture in a minute. So it's from Hebrews 12, and it's 1 to 2. And obviously, I know that God has been speaking to quite a few people, and because I've heard them mention this scripture as well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Shall we just pray? Lord, we just thank you for this scripture this morning, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come in this place. I pray that you'd move amongst us and speak to our hearts. Help us to understand that this race is personal to us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we keep our eyes and our gaze fixed on us, on you, Lord Jesus, that you will instruct us and you will show us and you will tell us by the power of your Spirit what this race entails, and help us to really just pursue you with everything that we have, Lord. We just pray in your holy name. Amen. And and also, if you could, because this is, I had a word which I'm going to read to you, and it came from that I'd been reading Exodus 3. So if you just want to turn it in your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles, if you haven't, maybe when you go home, or if you're on the tape, you can read that at your own leisure. It's the story of the burning bush. It's the story of Moses when God speaks to him and tells him to go tell the to go tell Pharaoh to let his people go, and just kind of the difficulties really Moses had just with hearing God's voice and moving where God wanted him. So this is kind of going to be a practical application as well as some spiritual things that God's going to say to us. But also, when I was praying, God gave me this word, and I hope this helps you this morning, just as you listen to it. So if you want to just close your eyes as I read you this, as I just read you this word. And I felt that God was saying, I'm going to start laying my heart upon yours, revealing the pain and affliction of a lost world. And as you listen to Holy Spirit, you will hear and feel him speak, revealing things that I will ask you to do. You may have to step out of your comfort zones. You may have to push past your fears. You will have to take hold of my hand as I lead you and impart faith and courage. I have seen you are able to be a courageous church, a courageous people. And as I speak to you, step into what I call. Don't allow the atmosphere of excuses to invade your mind. Don't let the atmosphere of excuses penetrate your heart, saying, who am I? Doubting your ability and your sonship and your purpose. Doubting who I am and my ability, my power and my sovereignty. Many have gone before me and doubted who I am and what I am able to do, paralyzing them to move. Believe. Believe Holy Spirit's voice. Believe he will impart my heart. Believe I will strengthen you, and don't doubt your capability. This is not a time for excuses, and this is not a time to get comfortable. This is a time to be a courageous church. And I felt that when God had given me this word, and I was just kind of getting ready, and I shared a little bit with some things at the ladies' meeting, and so some things will be similar and some things will be different. But I felt that God just said to me, will you do this thing? And will you be a people that does this thing, that shakes the gates of hell by opening heaven's gates over your mind and by believing the truth of God's word and walking in it? And so God was asking that question, will you shake the gates of hell by opening heaven's gates over your mind? Will you believe the truth and walk in it? And Sonia brought this word, and a word was about vital. So some things are very vital. And the definition of that means to be absolutely necessary, and it means to be essential. And the first thing in this word that God starts to speak is about, that he starts to say about laying his heart upon our heart. Now, you may think to yourself, that's all Ange ever seems to talk about. But let me tell you, when God says it's the greatest commandment, it is the greatest commandment, and it's the thing that we should do. And so there is some things that God calls us to do. He calls us to press in intimacy, and he calls us to connect with his heart. Because if we don't connect, we won't hear what God has got to impart to us for us to do. So it's vitally important that we do this. It's vitally important that we spend time. I just want to say to you that it is fundamentally a basic fundamental thing that we read our Bibles, that we pray and we worship every day. Now, we are all completely different, and we will do it in all different ways, but it's a fundamental basic that we need to do that. Because when you press into God's word, what God's word does, it informs your heart how to pray. So God's word informs your heart, and it tells you how to pray. And we need to be a people that know how to pray, because we need to change the atmosphere of something. And like when you read about in Acts 2, and I often think how the church was so very radical, and it influenced the people, it influenced the community. And we've got to ask ourselves, are we doing that? Are we influencing what we are surrounded? Are we influencing our community? And when I came into church, and I know because of COVID things have stopped for a little while, and you can't help that, it's just the season that we're in. But when I walked into the building just one day, and I went to put my bike in, I felt like God was saying, this place needs to be a hub of activity. This church needs to be a hub of activity of the things of God. And so what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do practically. I want you to spend time with God. And I want you to really listen to what God is saying, God's heart. Ask him to tell you God's heart. And those things that he puts on your heart, start writing them down. Because I feel that, like, when you go to your cell group, start talking about those things that are maybe your burdens. Maybe you've got a burning heart for the lost or the lonely or those that are anxious, those that are depressed. Maybe it's for children, it's maybe for just people that are going through addiction. There'll be many things that God starts laying on your heart. I know that he's started speaking to me about a few things, and I've already called together a few people, and that's what we're going to do. Tell your cell group leaders, let's talk about these things, and then come and speak to Dave or Pete, or Pete and Dave together, and let's start to get this church like working for the community. And when I was praying, I had a sense that I saw this tree, and it was bursting forth with all this fruit on it, and the fruit started to fall onto the ground, and I felt that God was just kind of showing me, and I saw people that I didn't know coming to pick this fruit, and I felt that God was saying they're going to benefit from this tree that is so ripe, because the harvest is ripe. And the fruit of this tree is who we are, of our displaying of the fruits of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. We want to influence our community. We want to influence Selby with the fruit of the Spirit, that we are people led by the Spirit. And so we've got to move in the Spirit, and it's really, really important for us. And so that we listen and start, like, being active and pursuing what God puts on our heart. So I believe he's going to speak to different people individually. It's not just coming from leaders. He's going to start speaking to you and just saying, I'm giving you a burning desire, something I'm putting in your soul for something. And he's going to drop something in your spirit. And then we're going to come together as team, as church, and we're going to start doing some things that God has called for us. Because who wants to shake the gates of hell? We get too complacent. I just want to say that to you. We get too complacent about hell. And I ask you that today. Is it something that you think about? Like your friends at school, the friends that you love and the friends that you see and even the friends that you don't love. But just being at school, just being in your workplace, just being with your family, even for us all, for me also, that I've got family that are not saved. But is there an urgency? Is there something in you that wants to display Jesus so much to them? Have we got an urgency and something in us that those people, if they don't find Jesus, are going to hell? And so we've got to display something good and really hold this really weightily, what God is saying. So he's going to give us something to do, and we will have to step out. We will have to step out of our comfort zone sometimes. Sometimes it's scary to step into some new adventures, some new things to do. Sometimes we feel quite fearful about it, and we think to ourselves, which I'll go on, that we put all these excuses like Moses put in the way, which I'll speak to in a minute. But when God says us to do something, we have to step out and move into it, guys. And so just really hear that. But when our earthly minds, and it all starts up here in our heads, but when our earthly minds are in charge, so when if we don't get up with our thoughts totally on Jesus, with our mindset in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if we don't keep our focus on Jesus Christ and the gospel and preach the gospel to ourselves daily and understand why we're on this earth is to display the gospel. If we don't understand that, we'll be about our own business. And when our earthly minds are in charge, we determine what we will do. But when we are led by the Spirit, we're filled and we're directed and we are controlled and guided by the Spirit and by God. But to do that, we need to abandon sometimes some things of ourselves, and we need to put those down and lay them down and say, God, I just want to pick up you. I want to be about your business. I want to be where you are. And if you read in Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves. They kept in this place of devotion, the devotion to the word, the devotion to listen to the apostles, the devotion to listen to the Spirit and be guided and led by the Spirit. And that's why they were able to influence communities. And so be bold and be courageous and really ask God to do this thing, that have your minds renewed. Because don't we need our minds renewed? Don't we get ourselves into these places sometimes when we wake up and we're so selfish? We're all about ourselves. We're all about our own opinions. We're all about our own wants. We're all about our own needs. We're all about our own moods, what mood we're in. For goodness sake, let's wake up to what we're called to do, and we're about God's business. So let's ask this question. Let's read scripture. If you read Romans 12, just find it for you. Just let me find it for you. Because it's just a important piece of scripture. If you read scripture every day, if you put the scripture into yourself every day, and what you do, you pray it in. So like this, it's Romans 12. I'll read it from 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It says this: do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, a transformation. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so how we need to not be conformed to the world. So how easily it is that when we read scripture, then we can pray that into our lives. God, help me not to be conformed to the patterns of these worlds. Help my mind to be in these heavenly places where you are seated. transform my mind in this day, how the scripture helps us, informs us how to pray and how to live very, very different lives. And so the only way that we're going to do something is always by the word of God imparted into our hearts and into our lives. And so you get this situation, which I was reading when the word, God was saying this thing. He was saying, don't let the atmosphere excuses invade your mind, and don't let the atmosphere of excuses penetrate your heart. So when you look back over Moses, and so you read chapter 3, so if you just want to open your Bibles, but I think it starts at verse 7, and he's had this wonderful experience of the burning bush where, you know, God speaks to him, and God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh. And if you have to, like, get into the mindset of Moses, and because here he has to go back to a man who brought him up, and but a man who was treating God's people very wickedly. And he tells him, I've heard the cry of my people, I've heard their heart, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Moses? Just the kind of the fear that kind of crept into his heart that he had to go there. And then he starts making all these excuses. If you read from verse 11 onwards, he starts making all these excuses to God. He says, first of all, he says, who am I? And I think that sometimes we all have that excuse in us. Well, who am I? And we doubt ourselves. We doubt that God would want to say something to you. And so this race, when the Bible tells us this race that is set before us, it's a personal race. And God is saying to us all, he's saying to Irene and Alan, he's saying to June and Ian, he's saying to Laura Russell, he says to Dawn, he says to Anne Pipes, there's a race for you to run. He says that individually, there's a race for you to run. You've been called for purpose. There's a race for you to run. There's something for you to do. And we don't want to start saying, well, who am I? Because that's doubting in who God says we are. And when God says we're sons and daughters, when God tells us who we are, and God says he's chosen us, and God has given us Jesus Christ, and he gave us the cross, and God has done everything for us in the cross, and then we start saying, who am I? And we doubt our ability. It's like saying the cross wasn't enough. And the cross was enough. And when we doubt, what it is unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. And so there's a big connotations to it all. So really, really hone into that. And he says all these things. And he makes all these excuses. What shall I say? He says, I don't know enough. And I was saying at the ladies' meeting, Blessed Joy had said this to me, and she's okay with me sharing it. But Sonia and Dave asked her to do Alpha, her and Mike. And she'd never obviously done anything like that before. And she said, but I don't know enough. And I said, you've got, well, this is what I say, crack on, you've got Jesus. But I say, if you've got Jesus, you've got enough. If you've got a testimony, you've got enough. You really have got enough. You don't need to be this learned person. If you've got Jesus in your heart, he'll give you all the wisdom to know what to say to people. You've got enough. So don't doubt yourself. Don't make those excuses. I'm not learned. I'm not eloquent enough. Dear me, if I believed I wasn't eloquent enough, which I'm quite John Blunt, and I don't wrap some things up like some people do a talk, and they're very beautiful in the speech, and I listen to people and I think, well, I just don't sound like that. I'm not meant to sound like them. I haven't got eloquent speech, but I've got Jesus and I've got the Holy Spirit. So what comes out of me is not of my own, it's of God. So I'm not talking on my own, I'm talking what God is saying. And then he says, well, he starts saying, well, send somebody else. Can't you send somebody else? And you just think of all these things. You just excuse after excuse. If you read it down, it's really interesting to read, because then obviously God gets a bit mad with him. But you know, God gets a bit mad with him and he says, take Aaron. But do you know what God didn't do? He didn't give up on him. And if God has called something over your life, whatever age you are, wherever you are, if you're listening, he will fulfill those purposes in you, because he'll keep telling you and telling you. And it doesn't matter. I just want to say to you, it doesn't matter what age you are. We need the young people and we need the old people. We need the people that are going to work and we need the people that are retired. Who is going to do these things in the day? It's not the people who go to work. It's the retired people. I just want to say, if you're retired, don't think to yourself, that's it for me. Let me tell you, until you've got breath, and you've got no breath, but you're still going to have breath in heaven, so you're still going to be breathing. But when you've got no breath on this earth, then you can give up, because you can't do anything anyway. But until that moment, keep going. Keep running in the purposes of God. Keep doing it. Because our purpose is this. And if you understand this, get this in your head today. If you write anything down, this is our purpose, is to make God look magnificent and to put Jesus on display. And you can do that in any walk of life. So if you're saying, well, actually, I go to work, so I couldn't really do anything in the day and I couldn't get involved with anything. Well, go make Jesus look glorious and God magnificent in your workplace. Do it there. Do it in your workplace. Go put Jesus on display for everybody to see. Go, let the things that come out of your mouth look glorious. And if you say, well, actually, I'm a mum. Or I'm a dad and I'm really busy and we're busy with our kids. Well, let me tell you, display Jesus in your home. Do something glorious in your home life. Put Jesus on display in your home. And if your kids, Alfie Ted and Annie Kate, what you need to do today is you need to make Jesus look glorious by loving your mum and dad, by doing what they call you to do, by putting Jesus on display in that way. And so that's how we do that. And so at school, everywhere that you're going, and so in relationships with husbands and wives, you've got to think, as a husband, do I put Jesus on display and love my wife and put Jesus on display? Wives, do you love your husbands and put Jesus on display? So it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, we're putting Jesus on display. And it's very important that we look like we say we are. So, and also that the church needs to look glorious. Don't know how many times that we've been in situations, even over the years, when the church hasn't looked beautiful. When the church, and even the churches, even in the nations, don't put Jesus on the display and make God look magnificent. Because what Pete was talking about last week and what Dave was talking about the week before in James about being hearers and doers, our lives should reflect something, and about our words and our actions should be glorifying to God, is that sometimes the church hasn't looked glorious because of those reasons. So we have to be careful how we speak, be careful what we do. And just, you know, get into these things. So God has much to tell us, and God has got much to impart to us. And practically, like I say, I want you to maybe just speak to your cell groups, and let's get into these, making every opportunity to apply faith, hope, and love in every situation, and displaying Christ Jesus just gloriously. And so that's all I've got to say. But what we're going to do is that I just want to pray some things in today. And I've some words, and we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and we'll just kind of pray for one another. Because I don't know where you are, And I don't know how you feel today. I don't know if you are one of these people that don't feel very courageous, and you don't feel, and you feel like you've got nothing in you, and you're feeling, you're doubting things. Well, God wants to bring you strength, and God wants to give you power today, and he wants to raise power in you. So I just want to say, if you want to be listening, I'm just going to ask you these questions. If you want to listen and you want God to lay his heart on your heart, for him to impart those things to you that he wants you to do, what I would like you to do in this moment, I'd just like you to stand up. And if you want to be about God's business, it's okay. I just want to say to you, it's okay if you don't, just stay where you are. But if you do, just kind of stand to your feet somewhere. Because I just feel that God wants to come. Just maybe put your hands out and receive. And I just want to pray, lovely Jesus, right now for these wonderful people. I want to pray for this church. And I want to pray for myself, Lord, also. Because I want to apply everything, Lord, to my heart. And I want to step into the new things that you've got for me. I want you to lay your heart upon my heart. And I want to understand the pain and the affliction of a lost world. I don't want to get complacent about hell. I want you to speak to me, Lord. And I just pray for all of us today that you would come by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd come helping us to understand that this race that is set before us is our race, and that you've got something for us to do. We've got a gospel to go take to a lost and needy world. We've got you, Jesus, to put on display. And God, we want to make you look magnificent in our lives. And so in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we speak, we say, Lord, today we want to surrender to you. We want to lay everything down. And we want our minds to be in line with your mind. We want our wills to be in line with your will. And we don't want to be governed by our own wills. And so I just pray, lovely Holy Spirit, that you would just fall afresh. I pray for this fresh wind of the Spirit, for a fresh move, for this fresh power to fall on us. And we just want to say, Lord, we read your word because we need you. And we just want to say, Lord, today that we really need you, God. We need you to help us. We need you to equip us. We need you to strengthen us. We need you to impart your wisdom and your courage and your bravery over our hearts today. And so those things that you want to speak to us, when you speak, Lord, we won't have the excuses. And we just say, Lord, today for our unbelieving hearts, that you can use us. We want to say we're sorry when we've doubted that you can use us. We're sorry, Lord, when you've spoken and we've not stepped into the things that you want to speak to us about. And we say, Lord, today we pray that you would gather us together as a people, just to really make this hub, this church, a hub of just you, Lord Jesus, speaking you, proclaiming you, and seeing salvation, Jesus. We want to see salvation in this town. That is our cry. That is our heart's cry. And we want to shake. We want to shake the gates of hell. So we want heaven's gates opened over our minds. So we believe God's word. We believe your word totally, Lord. And we function in it, and we do according to what you've called us. And so, Lord, we just pray, come right now, Holy Spirit, just fall afresh on us. And we just want to say, we make room for you. We just make room for you to speak. We really make room for you to speak into our hearts this morning. We pray that you'd make room. Oh, come, Lord. Come, Lord. I just